Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here with you on this Wednesday, the 25th. Of April. Almost forgot the date, Dalton. It's all runs together when you've got playoff games on weird days. Like today, I have one on a Wednesday. How are you?
I didn't know the date, so yeah. I'm good. I'm getting over this little sickness I've had, the cold, I guess, whatever it is.
I've got something similar. I don't know. We'll try not to hack and snort our way through this episode. Apologies. That's why we have editing.
Right.
Take all that out. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. We got a bunch to talk about today, a bunch of things to talk about. Football, basketball, baseball, softball. As I mentioned, we're in the midst of the baseball and softball playoffs. And I guess technically for softball, it's the first round, because the last round they called the play-in round, whatever that means.
I don't understand it either. But
baseball has byes as well, but we call that the first round. And now we're into the second round this week with the baseball. But softball got back going Tuesday. Baseball, we had a handful of games Monday and Tuesday, game threes, and then they pick back up, I guess, on Friday. So, and then softball schedule is weird. They're doing the Tuesday-Thursday thing this week after doing Friday-Saturday last week, although some teams played Thursday because of weather. And then next week it's like Monday-Tuesday or something odd. But anyway, yeah, so we got a lot of games to cover the rest of the week, and we're going to look ahead to some of those games and look back at a few as well. Before we move on, let's remind you that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Well, Dalton, let's start with some sad news, it's tough to talk about people dying, but this man was a legend and certainly deserves to be talked about for all he did. Jim Drury, who spent most of his 50-year coaching career at Boonville, I think 33 of those seasons he spent at Boonville. He died late Monday night. He came down with pneumonia last week, was put in the hospital. He was 86 years old, and so he's gone on from this world, and a man who's just not just a great coach, but a great man. And I had the pleasure of covering some of his teams later in his career. He retired after the 2009 season, and he was a winner up to the end. They went 13-1 that year, lost in the North Final after going undefeated in the regular season. And so he started his coaching career way back in the 50s. And he coached at the Kossuth, which is where he went to high school, back then known as Alcorn AHS. And then he went back to Kossuth years later. Now, he coached at Boonville initially for 13 years. And then he retired briefly after his second stint at Kossuth, I think it was, and basically kind of went crazy, just sitting around, not coaching. So I think his wife, as I recall, basically told him to go find a job. And so he got a job at Tishomingo for a year, and then the Boonville job came back open in 1990, and he took it and kind of cemented his legacy there, won three state titles during his second tenure at Boonville, and just one of the greatest coaches of all time. 346 wins, those three state titles in 1990, 1999, and 2000. Also went to the state title game and lost in 97 and 98, and also a couple of times in the 2000s, I think, he went and lost. But like I said, great coach, but also just a great man. He influenced a bunch of people, and his coaching staff for a good chunk of his time at Boonville was him and then Mike Maddox, the late Riley Presley, and Rick Coggin. It was just those four for the longest time. He coached all of them in high school, and those are all good coaches. Mike Maddox is now the head coach. He took over when Jim Drury retired. But those guys all could have gone on to be head coaches elsewhere. I mean, all good coaches, but there's just kind of this – you know, this family atmosphere, this bond that they had, as Mike Maddox put it. And so, you know, that was a big reason for Boonville's success over the years. And so, you know, and Jim was just like, kind of, Mike said he was like a second father to him, which you hear a lot, but truly he kind of treated his players like they were his own kids. And so it's just kind of hard to overstate the legacy that Jim Drury left behind as a coach and as a man. A little trivia, you know, the degrees of separation thing. Before I even met Jim Drury or knew who he was, way back, I guess during his first stint at Boonville, my dad was not long out of college and was teaching at Northeast, and his classroom was right across the hall from the classroom of Edna Drury, Jim's wife. And so for like a year or two, that my dad taught across the hall from Jim's wife, Edna. So that's just one of those small world things. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
See, I didn't get the privilege to cover him or know him or anything, but I have, you know, just talking to Mike Maddox in the past, I've heard his name mentioned before this even happened.
He went
way back a couple months ago, and you know, Mike Maddox had nothing but great things to say about the man. So
yeah, certainly. So we're really sorry to see him go, but he like I said, left behind a great legacy and will be fondly remembered for all he did and all the people he influenced in a positive way. So thoughts and prayers and everything, of course, to his family and all the people he affected and touched in his life. So let's move on to some other football news here. Dalton, Tupelo, going to be without perhaps its best player next season. Tay Standifer, what was the first practice of spring, and he tears his Achilles tendon. He's done, isn't he?
Yeah, and he could very arguably be the best returning player in the entire area.
Yeah, it could be.
And, I think he was backpedaling doing some drills, and it just popped, and he tore it. And, you know, he had surgery the day after, last Tuesday.
Right.
And, yeah, he's now recovering. I think that what they said is he'll probably be able to walk in a few months, 4 to 6 months, and then full recovery time is going to be about a year, about 12 months. And, but... You know, it sucks he's going to miss his entire senior season, but really looking forward now, nothing's changed for him recruiting process, which is the good thing. You know, he's still committed to Ole Miss, and Matt Luke has told him that they're going to stay with him.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed with Mississippi State, Southern Miss, Memphis. All those offers are still out there. You know, he still has one from Oregon. I'm not sure about that one.
Right.
But, you know, all of his probably 8 to 10 offers are still on the table.
Okay. That's
so
good.
But whenever I talked to him, you know, he said Ole Miss and Mississippi State, which I would guess are his 1 and 2, are still on the table for him.
Yeah.
And it's a huge loss for Tupelo. He was a 3-year starter. He started since his freshman season.
Yeah. Strong safety on that defense that was one of the best in the state the last few years.
I think,
and they've already lost Jet Johnson and Peter Gray to graduation, and now you lose the guy on the back end that really locks it down.
Yeah, last season he had 63 tackles and 4 interceptions, 7 passes defended. I remember being at the Horn Lake game where he had 2 interceptions. He ran back 1 for a 75-yard touchdown. So, you know, that's a huge loss. You know, they had a lot of interceptions, and I imagine it's mostly because of him, because they try to avoid throwing to him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so yeah, that's a big challenge for Tupelo next year, which and has a lot of really good players returning on offense, particularly at the skill positions. I think we talked about this last week. Got to fill some holes on the offensive line and at linebacker, but you figure Trent Hammond will have that team competitive again in 6A.
No doubt.
Yeah, certainly. So hope Tay Standifer can make a rapid recovery there. Got a quick update on West Point, the 2-time defending champs there. And they won what was it 27 straight games, something like that. They got a lot of missing pieces though. Going to lose some guys. Marcus Murphy, of course, the MSU signee. Chris Calvert, those two guys combined for about 3,300 yards rushing. And Marcus played a good bit at quarterback, splitting snaps with Jake Chambliss, Chris Chambliss's son, the coach. Jake is back as a senior. He'll be a key part of that senior group. And while there are a lot of pieces missing, Dalton, the thing about West Point is they're so good at player development. There are going to be some guys that you've barely heard of or never heard of that's going to end up having really good seasons this year. Brandon Harris might be a guy to watch. He's going to be a junior running back, going to kind of play the same kind of role that Marcus Murphy did. In fact, he's taking snaps at quarterback right now because Jake Chambliss is still playing baseball in the playoffs. So you're going to see him be a key player. But Chris said, you know, we're going to probably have 3 or 4 guys that can run the ball, which they've always kind of had that. But last year it was mainly 2 guys, and that's all they really needed to do was let Marcus Murphy or Chris Calvert handle the ball. And they scored points in one game. So, but holes there, and you got some holes on defense. Terrence Cherry is gone, the big defensive lineman. And really I think probably the bigger concern for Chris is he wants to replace that leadership that they lost with those guys that graduated. Personnel-wise, I think they'll be fine. Will they win another state title? I wouldn't pick against them, Dalton.
Yeah. You got to play them, but, yeah, the way they're playing the last 2 seasons, you can't pick against them.
Yeah, and they're going to play a spring game May 11th. This could be fun. They're going to host Meridian and South Panola for the spring game.
Meridian is returning, I think, almost all of their key players. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, and South Panola is South Panola. Yeah, so, yeah, a little quick update there. I have something in the paper on Thursday on West Point there. Let's switch to basketball. Dalton has some big news on Monday. Pontotoc has a new boys basketball coach. It's a name you know. It's Raleigh Tipler.
Fantastic hire.
Great hire. He's, of course, was the Ashland head coach, won back-to-back state titles in 2016 and 17 in 1A, got back to the title game this year, but lost to that juggernaut, Okolona. No shame in that. So, yeah, Raleigh Tipler moving up to 4A, and a great hire for Pontotoc, a great move for Raleigh. Now, I think they lost their top two scorers from last year. But he's taken over a program that's always going to churn out some good talent.
Mm-hmm. And they're returning good players. They're, I think 11 out of their 13 players coming back.
Okay.
And then they've got Rock Robinson, of course, you know, who had a great season last year. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do with the guards there because, you know, he's all about guard play.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he's handled the guards at Ashland, just I want to see what he's going to do at Pontotoc right there.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked to him, Dalton. What was kind of his reasoning for wanting to take this job?
Well, he said that he's just wanted to get a new challenge. He's been in Ashland for 13, 14 years. He just wanted something new. And he said that he wanted to grow with a team. So he thought Pontotoc was a perfect fit because they're kind of young.
Yeah.
They have a young roster. So he thought that I go over there, kind of grow with these guys. They can grow with me. And
right. Kind of get his own way of doing things ingrained in these guys at a young age.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that he succeeds, you know, he's been in the second round every single year that he's been a head coach. Been Jackson for the 5 years he's been a head coach. So
yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be in Jackson this year at Pontotoc. You know, they went 19-9, lose their top two players. But
never know.
Yeah. Well, the way he's coaching, you know, if they develop those players well, Rock Robinson has a good season down low, that you could see them doing something.
Yeah, certainly. So, yeah, great hire. Like you said, Dalton, a home run hire to get Raleigh Tipler to Pontotoc. Of course, he took over for Chris Vandiver, who had a nice run there, but he left and is now an assistant coach for Jeff Norwood at Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good hire for Tupelo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, the coaching carousel keeps on turning, Dalton. And speaking of, West Union also has a new basketball coach on the girls' side. J.C. Hales has been hired. He spent the last 3 years as an assistant at Oxford with Cliff Orman. Before that, 2 years as a head coach at Hickory Flat. So this is his second head coaching job. And he's only 29 years old, young guy. Takes over a team that's got a lot of potential, kind of like Pontotoc's boys. They got some good young talent. Now, they went 11-24 last year, but they lost their first 14 games. And then they got things turned around and finished the season really strong. Found some young players that are, you know, should be really good, and they're only going to lose one senior. Their top scorer is going to be back, Annie Orman. She was a freshman this past year. She averaged about 16.5 points per game. So West Union's girls, with a new head coach and a lot of talent back, couldn't make a little bit of noise there in 1A in the coming years. And J.C. Hales, by the way, is the son of Nettleton girls coach Shane Hales. So got the coaching pedigree there. There you go. All right, baseball, Dalton. Got some big games coming up, big series coming up this weekend. Start with 4A. This, on paper, looks like the best series, Pontotoc and Ripley. We've both seen Pontotoc. We've been both wanting to see Ripley. And, you know, if the weather cooperates, you're going to cover them Friday. I'm going to cover them Saturday. Should be fun.
I am so excited for this matchup. Both these teams can hit so well. And they've been so good. You know, Pontotoc's, I think, 21-5. And Ripley's 20-2, and both these teams, you see every single game that they're hitting, you know, double-digit runs and just run-ruling everybody.
Yeah.
And, of course, Pontotoc's got Hayden Harris, who's, you know, almost leading the state in every hitting category possible.
Yeah, and, he's insane.
And of course, I don't see all Ripley stats. They don't update on Max Preps.
But we know we got some players like Cole Melton and Reese Moore and some other guys that the names elude me.
I know they can hit.
They can hit all right, and they can hit some home runs too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and you know, and you kind of forget about the pitching. I kind of wonder, will these be high scoring games, or will the you know, in the playoffs, you see the pitching kind of take over sometimes? So I don't know.
True, I think the reason I'm excited for this is because, you know, I'm not counting Pontotoc out at all. I could see Pontotoc making a huge run in the playoffs, but I've seen from the start, I thought Ripley, you know, would be probably one of the top two teams in the North.
Right.
So,
and they're our number three ranked team. And last time we did rankings was last week. We stopped doing them for now because of the playoffs. They were number three, but after those rankings came out, they went and beat Oxford, so which was the number one team.
And then Pontotoc is also ranked. I think they're ranked in the 6-7 spot, 6-7 or 8. You know,
yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, it's at Ripley on Friday, at Pontotoc Saturday, and then if Game 3 is needed, back at Ripley on Monday. So should be a fun series. Another good looking series in 1A is Smithville and Myrtle. In fact, I plan to be at Game 1 on Friday at 7 o'clock at Myrtle. And those are two teams that are always good in 1A. You've got Jamie Russell over at Smithville. He's been coaching in this area for years. You've got Robert Gordon, who's been at Myrtle for a long time. So two really good coaches, a really good matchup there in 1A. Looking forward to that. 6A, Tupelo takes on DeSoto Central, Dalton. And this is, you know, the defending champs. They've got a test. I saw them play against Starkville last weekend in Game 1. They had to come back late to win that one 4-3, and then they won Game 2 in Starkville to get the sweep. But it's 6A, man. It's tough. I mean, again, then on the, and they also get Oxford after getting a bye. Will take on South Haven, which could be a good series as well.
Yeah, and South Haven defeated Oxford about 2 weeks ago. They both threw freshmen. They didn't throw their aces,
right.
But they only beat them by one run. Oxford, you know, was kind of not playing as well as they can, or as well as they were. But you know, they defeated Grenada, who won their division in 5A last Saturday. They scheduled a game with them, came back and beat them. So I want to see them bring that momentum back into the playoffs, you know, because if Oxford's playing at the best of their ability, they are really, really hard to beat.
They're really good.
Parker Stinnett and Tyler Smith are two aces. They're excellent on the mound.
Yeah, they are. And so big test for Oxford, big test for Tupelo. And, you know, Tupelo, Dalton, they got good pitching last week. Hunter Elliott got banged around a little bit, but John Luke Marlin did a good job in Game 1 of coming in and kind of shutting things down and keeping his team in it. And so I don't know a whole lot about DeSoto Central, but
DeSoto Central is always good.
They're always good. I know that.
The thing with Tupelo is the last few games of the regular season, they started hitting the ball extremely well because they went through a little slump where they'd scored, I think, 2 runs in 4 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh, well, they're starting to get hitting back on track." And then they go against Starkville, and I didn't see Starkville pitching at all. I didn't see any game in that series. But you know, I think they scored 4 runs each one. And
yeah, Austin Campbell was really good in Game 1 for Starkville until the last couple of innings. They finally got to him.
Yeah, so you know, if they get their hitting back on track, like you said, their pitching's fantastic at Tupelo, so they can be dangerous if they start hitting the ball a little better.
Like I said, if you got the pitching, man, they can take you a long way in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are just a few key baseball playoff series starting this weekend in the second round. Softball playoffs, Dalton, like I said, they got back going on Tuesday. You were out at Mooreville, took on Kosciuszko. Had a good one there, didn't you?
Oh, that was an excellent game. Kosciuszko was 23-2 before the game.
Yeah.
And I imagine, I don't know who they lost to, but they had to be some good teams because the Kosciuszko team, they're excellent in the field. They didn't hit very well. Mooreville's Ansley Basham, just a freshman on the mound, just shutting them down. I think through 4, she had faced the minimum. I think she had 6 or 7 strikeouts through 4 innings.
Wow.
And she got a lot of help from her catcher, Kara Hayes, who I think she allowed it. She walked somebody in the first inning, and then she tried to steal second base, and Kara Hayes gunned her. And then extra innings, in the 6th inning, Basham allowed bases loaded. They scored a run. I think she allowed 3 hits that inning.
Okay.
And then, or it was an error and then 2 hits. The run wasn't earned. And then the first error that Kosciuszko made, Mooreville scored on it. This little blooper back to the pitcher and threw it over the first baseman's head. And then extra innings, they start off with that runner on second base. Mooreville gunned the girl at third, got her out, and then forced the next 2 outs, and Mooreville took advantage of it with an infield, walk-off infield single.
Lulu Franks.
Just a 7th grader.
She related to Andy Hammer Franks?
I would imagine so. I don't know 100%, but I would guess so.
Yeah, probably so.
The thing that was interesting to me is they brought out it was Abby McDonald. She was 3-for-3 on the night, and they brought her out in the 7th inning. They put Lulu in there, and then her spot came up, and she hit a walk-off single. That 6-hole was 4-for-4 on the night.
Nice.
With them two.
Wow. So, Mooreville with the Game 1 win. Still got to win one more against a tough Kosciuszko team. They'll play 1-2 if needed on Thursday, I guess, at Kosciuszko. Yep. Weather permitting, we could see some of these games get pushed to Friday, I imagine, because last I checked, there's like a 90% chance of rain tomorrow, which is no good. Also, you had Smithville defeat Pine Grove 9-3 last night in Game 1 of that series. And tonight, as I mentioned, Wednesday night, Saltillo and Lewisburg Game one got postponed from Tuesday. I guess the field was still too wet from the weekend. But they're supposed to play tonight at 5 o'clock. I'll be there. I was just checking the stats. Lewisburg has like 9 girls that hit better than 400.
That's impressive.
They hit 441 as a team. That is good.
So you get every other girl on base, you're going to be successful.
I'm looking forward to seeing if they're really that good at the plate tonight against Saltillo. Tough test for the Lady Tigers there in 5A. Okay, let's wrap up the show with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past few days. Female Athlete of the Week, hey, we mentioned her a while ago in a basketball sense, but she plays softball as well. Annie Orman, the freshman for West Union, in a two-game sweep of Wheeler in the last round of the softball playoffs. She went 4-for-6 with a double, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, 5 runs scored, and she stole 4 bases and did all this on a bum ankle.
Yep.
Yeah, you saw that game, didn't you?
I did. She sprained her ankle in game one. I don't remember winning game one, but still, I saw her. She had a home run and 4 RBIs in the game, the game I watched.
Right.
And she hit that home run to take the lead, and she was – I mean, that's impressive just on a bum ankle to just do that right there.
Yeah.
She also made some excellent plays in the field. She is a fantastic shortstop in the field.
There you go. So Annie Orman, good athlete. Your male athlete of the week, Will McNeese, a senior for Smithville against Pine Grove in a 3-game series there. He went 9-for-11 with 5 RBIs. And he had 3 RBIs in the decisive game 3. Also, he pitched 3 1/3 innings of scoreless relief in those two wins, which those two wins they had were blowouts. That was a first round 1A action for Smithville. So congrats to Will McNeese as well. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all again for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournal Preps for updates on all things Northeast Mississippi High School sports. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8, and I'm on there at Brad Luck. All right, that's it. Hope you all have a good rest of the week. We'll see you next time.